This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, July 22nd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, how some employers are offering a four-day work week as a way of cutting down on commuting costs, but it's not helping save on gas necessarily. We'll also have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Some patients at Carle Clinic say they won't have any way of making appointments at new locations in expanding neighborhoods. Champaign County Healthcare Consumers questions why the clinic would establish facilities in southwest Champaign and southeast Urbana without setting up bus routes to them through Champaign-Urbana's mass transit district. John Ramsbottom sits on the group's healthcare task force. He says this poses a hardship for many used to having appointments at Carle's main campus.
Now that, at least according to their own website, most of the family medicine practitioners are moving to the outlying clinics, I think there is a need to do something about people who customarily went downtown. And I understand the problem of parking for everybody who uses downtown, but I'm not sure that that should be an insuperable obstacle to access to health care.
A statement from the clinic indicates less than 1% of the patients it surveyed had transportation concerns tied to the new clinics, but the Consumer Group's executive director, Claudia Lenhoff, says she's received complaints from at least 24 people and says those patients were not among those surveyed. Clinic spokeswoman Carl Kennecke Grant says she expects the MTD will provide service once the areas are more fully developed. Lenhoff says Carl should consider providing a shuttle from the main campus to its new locations. Champaign County's Emergency Management Agency is advising motorists to be aware of downed power lines around some county roads as a result of last night's high winds. They include Route 10 east of Bonneville. Motorists are urged to be cautious that they see barricades and to treat any downed line as if it were live. Meanwhile, more than 500 power outages remain in Urbana. These storms caused overnight outages in Peoria and Carbondale as well. Meanwhile, Indianapolis area firefighters say lightning caused several fires, including one that damaged several apartments at a complex on that city's west side. No injuries were reported. Duke Energy reported over 75,000 customers were without power since last night. The largest number of outages was in Vigo County, Indiana. Under 42,000 customers remain without power as of 6 this morning. It's been 1 week since Danielle Chenoweth resigned from the Urbana City Council, and Mayor Laurel Prussing says she hopes to have someone to recommend for council approval 1 week from now. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
As of last night, Mayor Prussing said no one had submitted an application to serve out the rest of Chenoweth's term representing the second ward on the Urbana City Council. But she's expecting applications to come in by July 28th so that council members can vote on her recommendation at the August 4th meeting. State law gives the mayor 60 days to nominate an interim alderperson and the council another 30 days to vote on the nominee. But Prussing says it's better to get someone in the second ward seat within 30 days before the summer ends.
I think it would be good to get somebody started in a relatively slow period, because if you just started when we're going full tilt, it might be more difficult for someone to get oriented. And I know that Danielle wanted someone appointed as quickly as possible because she doesn't want her ward to go unrepresented.
Applicants for the vacant council seat must be Democrats who have lived in the second ward for at least a year. Prussing says she's looking for someone with a lot of enthusiasm who's ready to learn the ropes quickly and run for a full term on the council in the municipal election next spring. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Applications for the second ward council seat are available at the Urbana City Building and online on the city's website. The lawyer for a Kentucky widow suing the federal government over her husband's death at a Southern Illinois Veterans Affairs hospital says the government is stalling. The U.S. government has asked a federal judge to toss Katrina Shank's lawsuit because she didn't file an affidavit as required. But attorney Stan Heller says Illinois requires such affidavits in malpractice cases filed in state courts, but that they're not mandatory for malpractice cases in federal court. Shank's husband was 50 when he apparently bled to death after a gallbladder surgery at the VA hospital in Marion. Surgeries at the hospital were halted after the VA found at least 9 deaths between October of 2006 and March 2007 were directly attributable to substandard care there. McLean County prosecutors have dismissed animal cruelty charges against a dog groomer accused of poisoning a competitor's dogs. Prosecutors dropped the case against Denise Reed after Judge Kevin Fitzgerald denied a request to postpone the trial. Reed of Normal had been charged with intimidation, criminal damage to property. The 44-year-old owns Deanie's Bed and Biscuit in Bloomington. Tim Bowling owns a competing shop, Canine Design, whose two dogs ate tainted hamburger meat in September. Police say the meat contained antifreeze. Reed had denied the allegations. Prosecutors have 3 years to refile the charges against Reed. Work is underway on a $2 billion coal gasification plant along White River in Knox County, Indiana. Governor Mitch Daniels attended a ceremony marking the start of the construction at the site northeast of Vincennes yesterday. He said the Duke Energy plant will be worth its high cost because its pollution removal technologies will open more of southwestern Indiana's coal deposits for use as fuel. Daniels says low sulfur costs, coals are currently being shipped from other states to reduce air pollution at Indiana's power plants because much of the state's coal has a high sulfur content. The new plant is scheduled to go online in 2012, using advanced coal gasification technology to produce power with far fewer emissions than conventional coal-fired plants. And a longtime sports writer who created the baseball saves rule has died in Evanston at the age of 81. Jerome Holtzman was a Baseball Hall of Fame inductee who later became Major League Baseball's official historian. Holtzman wrote for both the Chicago Sun-Times and Tribune. He passed away after a long illness. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. With gas well over $4 a gallon, more employers are offering the 4-day work week as a way to cut down on commuting costs. Rebecca Williams reports it can boost morale, but it might not always save on gas.
If you want to skip out on a day of commuting, you could fake a stomach flu, or you could talk your boss into letting you work 4 10-hour days and then take a nice long weekend, every single weekend. But an 8-hour day can seem long. Working 10 hours in a row? Well, let's just say you might take a lot more YouTube breaks. Denise Truesdale is a legal secretary. She's been working 4-day weeks on a trial period. She admits working 10 hours straight can be tough.
Usually by noon, sometimes I feel like I could curl up and take a quick little nap, but just have to keep moving. Every now and then I have to run down to the vending machine to get a little sweet, just to keep my energy level up.
But she says she loves having 3-day weekends, and that's what keeps her going.
I think some employers are leery of the 4-day work week because they don't think the productivity is going to be there. People get tired easier. But I think it's an incentive for people to maybe work a little harder because they've got something to look forward to.
Bosses like the 4-day week because they can sometimes save money by closing the office one day a week. And they can make their employees a little happier. John Walsh oversees 94 custodians at Kent State University in Ohio. He's trying out the 4-day week for his workers.
They're not the highest paid on campus. With this summer coming up and the rise of gas, I brought it up and challenged my supervision to come up with a plan to see if we could make this work.
He won his supervisors over, so the schedule's in full swing. He says it's actually easier to get projects done with 10-hour days, things like stripping and waxing a floor. And Walsh says his workers love cutting back on their commutes.
Well, I've been in this position for 8 years, and I think this is the highest our morale has ever been. Teamwork is the highest I've ever seen it.
He says they have to make sure there's enough staff on duty to get everything done, like making sure trash doesn't pile up. Quite a few companies and government offices are taking the 4-day week seriously. Utah's governor just made it mandatory for most state employees, and at least 8 other state governments are offering 4-day weeks, or at least considering them. They say they're helping out employees who are feeling squeezed by gas prices. And a lot of people say they save at least 1 tank of gas a month. But a short work week might not always be an energy saver. Frank Stafford is an economist at the University of Michigan. He studies how people use their time.
So would you, on your now newly awarded Friday off, stay home and save gas? So you might drive as many miles on your day off as you did round trip. It's pretty subtle. I mean, people are going to say, well, now this is I got a 3rd day off, so why don't I drive around and do some errands and enjoy myself?
But Stafford says still, there's a clear trend happening. He thinks more employers will offer flexible schedules as gas prices rise. And as those gas prices stick around, they're probably going to change our traditional work weeks for good. For the Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the USDA's Cooperative Extension Service and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. Let us know what you think. Drop us a line at feedback@environmentreport.org.
Intervals of clouds and sunshine in our forecast for today. Just a slight chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm during the afternoon, the high 83. Partly cloudy tonight, the low 59. Sunny and pleasant tomorrow, the high 82. Clear skies tomorrow night, the low 58. Mostly sunny Thursday, the high 85. Mostly cloudy Thursday evening. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms arriving overnight, the low 64. Mostly cloudy Friday with more humid conditions, occasional showers and thunderstorms, the high 87. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.